This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Almost a week into the atrocities that happened in Israel, and we're seeing the casualties are soaring in Gaza as well. Where are we with Hamas? What about that $6 billion that we, the U.S., forked over to Iran? There's some big news on that. And, oh, yeah, Steve Scalise decided, I'm not playing. So he dropped his speaker bid as the House is now an even more chaos, because it's all about getting that backing. Hey, everybody, just another day in paradise. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hanging with me. Let's dive into what's going on in Israel and Gaza and the invasion and all of that. I mean, every day we're seeing more details, more atrocities, more horrific things that happen. Babies that had bullets all through their body, beheadings, all of that from the initial Hamas taking apart the people that were sleeping, that were in the areas that were very close to the Gaza Strip, and how they were able to time it and infiltrate and all of that. But there still is more details, and part of that is because what's happened now is still that recovering of bodies and still going through and finding people and then trying to account for people, because who are the hostages if there's no video that Hamas has released taunting the families or whatever it might be? It's about identifying, figuring it out, and all of that in between. So, Iran, we know, we are smart people. Iran absolutely is one of Hamas's financial backers. We know that. What Anthony Blinken, our Secretary of State, is saying is that we don't have hardcore evidence saying, okay, this is exactly what happened. This is exactly where this came from. We totally get that. I mean, I get that. But you can't tell me that we don't believe that, right? And finally, when it comes to the money, because this was what was so infuriating to so many people, the $6 billion that was oil profits that were frozen by another administration. Remember that the Trump administration, the whole idea, it's frozen, boom. That was money that was gained through oil. Okay, fine. The idea that it would be released or available again for them, meaning Iran, only for humanitarian purposes, is a joke, right? Because how do you monitor that? Blinken insists, yes, there is that way. Yes, it's being mischaracterized. But what has happened is, because of the criticism of that vast amount of money that was freed up, it's now denied. So the U.S. and Qatar have denied access to the $6 billion from the prisoner deal. So it is a no-go. And none of it has been released. So they don't have access to the funds. And what is being said, and I've really tried to uncover this, talk to people in the know, three layers up, let's say, who, of course, can't go on the record and go on the show, but that Iran definitely does not have access to the funds. They don't. And that the money is under close supervision and the strict conditions that it's only used for humanitarian purposes. So it's frozen in a sense, but what that means is it's a case-by-case application to spend it under the arrangement. That's what it is. Because the worry, of course, is that was any of this money, would it be freed up to support Hamas before it attacked Israel over the weekend? The specific comment is the U.S. has not seen intelligence that Iran has directly assisted with the assault and that some senior Iranian officials were taken by surprise. But I'm going to say this again. Tehran is a major backer of Hamas. They have been for decades. They have been. So who's zooming who? Right. Who's zooming who? And right now, by the way, the funds are not permanently off limits. So there's still a lot of things that are not completely clear. And the Secretary of State wouldn't confirm that Iran would be cut off from the account, but said none of the funds have been gone. None of them have been spent or accessed in any way. And then comes the word that this, you know, every single dime of the money is still sitting in a Qatari bank and none of it has been spent. So there's that piece of it, right? There's that piece of it. In the meantime, you have airstrike after airstrike after airstrike after airstrike. Benjamin Netanyahu has just unleashed a wicked hell on Hamas. I mean, that really is the goal. He said it, to eliminate them completely. So day seven, this is the push to do everything to continue to figure out ways to annihilate the perpetrators of the evil horror that happened to the Israeli people, which, by the way, Americans, over 25 Americans were killed. They think there's more. And some Americans have been kidnapped as well. Hamas, with all of the firepower, the bombings, and I call it the foot war that's about to happen, they're vowing to broadcast hostage executions. And here's the thing, and I delved into this a bit today with some of my super smart techie friends, there is no way really to prevent it from happening. I mean, we've seen this before, live stream murders in the past. We have, sadly, and that were viewed by millions of people. So this can happen. And they did release an audio saying that the fighters would kill hostages one by one every time an Israeli strike hits a home in Gaza. To our knowledge, that has not happened. At least 100 to 150 people, we do know that, have been kidnapped during that brutal assault. And that's why also trying to figure out if the videos, somebody wasn't seen on a video, were they kidnapped? What happened there? More reaction to what's going on in Israel and with Hamas and the hostages and a few other things as well. Plus Steve Scalise bowing out, and what does that mean? Who's going to get the gavel? Is anyone going to get the gavel? What does that mean for all of us? And what's happening at our border? Coming up on the flip side.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to Veterans care, nonprofits, and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney, at Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
On Israel and the Palestinians. There's been 338,000 Palestinians displaced by this conflict, and it's awful. It's awful to see the kids crying and things that are happening across the border, and this is Hamas. This is Hamas. They are not freedom fighters for the people there. They are not, this is not, this is our land and this is what we're doing. No, no. They are very much like ISIS. They're a terrorist group. So, unfortunately, this is what happens to the Palestinian people. Many of them, luckily, have been able to find shelter, UN shelters, I talked about that, or get out of the country, but some are just stuck. And stuck is unfortunately, where they find themselves. I mean, you got over a million people with these involved in these major humanitarian consequences. This is Hamas. This is what they did. This is what they've done. They train for their deadly attack in plain sight, less than a mile from Israel's, what was thought to be, heavily fortified border that they took down. And now this is the consequences for it. So in southern Israel, highways are jammed with military vehicles. Why? Because this is this mass ground invasion. People are still scurrying to try to get out of Israel because of planes not coming in and out. They're, like, for example, Governor DeSantis sent help for people that were from Florida to get them out of the country. There are people that are, there are countries that are doing the same thing, figuring out how they can get people out. In the meantime, you've got trucks full of ammunition, armored personnel carriers and tanks, civilian cars, buses packed with reservists, heading to bases to train and get ready for the next phase of this response to the terror attacks. This is what it is. I mean, you call up 4% of Israel's population. That's what happened. So their population is 34 times smaller than ours. That call-up is equal to the size of the U.S.'s military reserves, which, you know what our reserves are? They're just over 331,000. I mean, almost 332,000, but in that ballpark, let's just say that. So painting you the picture, giving you the sense of what it is. As far as the hostages, nothing. No news. Nothing there. Just things are being worked out behind the scenes. That there are people in Qatar that have relationships with Hamas, and they're talking to them. Supposedly that's what's happening. But boy, it is a very bleak situation. And throughout our shows, of course, we're going to update you on everything we can. There's a lot of disinformation out there. There's a lot of misunderstanding of what's happened and what's really happening and what the latest is. And we have our finger on the pulse, and I'll give you every single thing that I have learned. I have friends that are in Israel. I know people that were affected by this. Luckily, they weren't in the region at the time that was being invaded. So their kids and they did not have to hide and fake their death and feel the wrath of the brutal Hamas assault. This is brutal to me. I mean, people, that you got to come together. What's going on, GOP? So, House Speaker, leader, and guest on the show a couple of times, Steve Scalise, said, "I'm done. I'm out of the speaker race," because he can't, the word that's being used, coalesce. He can't get people behind him that he needs in the aftermath of booting Kevin McCarthy as the speaker. And I mean, he said it during the day. I just shared that I'm withdrawing my name as a candidate for the speaker designee. So in the meantime, then the vote, you know, was Jim Jordan, 113-99 over Scalise. So I think it was sort of predictable because everybody kept saying Jordan, even though Scalise is popular and well-liked by so many people. But that path was blocked. But it's still a crisis because there's no viable candidate that is getting these 217 votes that you need to get the gavel. And I'll say it again. Remember the whole McCarthy shenanigans? That was 15 times. 15 votes before it happened, and a hill of concessions and promises and everything else in between. And now more names are being thrown out, right? So more names are being thrown up there. It's kind of like Velcro wall. Let's just throw a bunch of names and see if anything sticks. But so far, nothing is sticking. And with all this world chaos and with that, what's happening at our own border, what's happening, obviously, the horror show, the focus, the heavy hearts, all of that with what's going on after what happened with Israel. Well, where are we on this? Because normally there are things that would be discussed with funds and help and all of that, but there can't be any votes. So I don't know. Can they, and this is a discussion, can they expand the powers of the interim speaker, Patrick McHenry from North Carolina, so they can pass legislation like a resolution for Israel? Is that an option? That's something that is being talked about. Is there a clear path to that? I couldn't find anything that allows that, but it doesn't mean that it's not so, right? These are unusual circumstances. Let's just put it that way. Very, very unusual. Hey, coming up, I want to remind everybody we do have a mailbag because just an avalanche of thoughts on what's gone on in the last 7 days, and then some other things that are happening a little bit closer to home. A lot of it, who's going to be the Speaker of the House kind of thing, and, you know, what's happening there. I do want to say this because I always feel like I'm part weather person. You know, if you've listened to the show at all, and if you haven't, welcome, and you tuned in at the right time, because I'm not giving you weather reports. Always, that's what we're trying to avoid. And not too far from where I am, I kept getting these pings on my phone, and I was thinking it was somebody that I was going back and forth with in Israel. But no, it was from the county telling me, look out, because there's tornado warnings. So at least one tornado damaged homes, cars, businesses in Florida, and hit two homes in Clearwater Beach, just came ashore. Nobody was injured, which is really lucky, because there was a woman that was asleep in her home when it hit. It collapsed a wall and the roof on her, but she was uninjured. It was just lucky strategically where she was sleeping. There's power lines that went down, you know, all of that. There's a town called Dunedin. It's where the Toronto Blue Jays play in the spring. That's their spring home. But that town had some problems, you know, with down lines and stuff. And, you know, geez, you think. And the debris was pretty significant. I looked at the debris. There's a place called Crystal River. If you've ever seen those, we call them sea cows, the manatees, that's where there's just hundreds of manatees. And that tornado, there was a tornado, a different one, that ripped through there, 115 miles an hour, mile-long path damage. Yeah, there was a bunch of that going on. So Floridians think that they just have to worry about hurricanes. No, 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 no. There is always the potential for these errant tornadoes, and luckily we're not talking about people losing their life in this case connected to this weather event, but definitely some heavy, heavy, heavy property damage. Unexpected, you know, unexpected tornadoes coming through, and not being necessarily prepared for that. You get an alert, but what do you do when you get an alert with a tornado? Because I lived in Tornado Alley in the great state of Texas and Oklahoma and all in that area. You know, there's only so much time that you can maneuver, for sure. All right, then one last one. Hey, Bob Menendez, what is wrong with you? I can see why the Democrats want to get him out. He's a Democratic senator from New Jersey charged with conspiracy to act as a foreign agent of Egypt in a brand new indictment. Wow. It'll be wild to watch where all this goes once this gets to the meat of the court balance of it. Your thoughts next. We go to the mailbag.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA News Update.
The Biden administration is urging Israel to increase precision in its Gaza attacks, according to the National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby.
Efforts Israel is now undertaking to be more surgical in their targeting and efforts that they are taking to help increase the flow of aid.
U.S. officials are advocating for more humanitarian pauses to facilitate hostage release by Hamas and enhance aid delivery to Gaza. A significant storm is moving up the East Coast with heavy rain and strong winds, causing some flooding and downed trees and wires and unseasonably warm temps Sunday into Monday. While weather can change at a moment's notice, it looks like the track of the storm will be from the Chesapeake Bay area to the southern New England area. U.S. Army Sergeant Maciel Hay just made history by becoming the first active duty female to pass the Army's sniper school. That's the latest. I'm Dave Collins, USA News.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Mail, mistress.
What? Dig in the mailbag.
Once again, thanks for the avalanche of thoughts, messages, all of that that you've sent. Let's dive deep into it. This one's from Michael. He's listening to us on KVOI in Tucson, Arizona. Man, and Ms. Delaney, you have a lot of fans here. I hope you know that. And I like when you recounted your experience with the Border Patrol, how they let you in, and you did a series and spent time for a week with the Border Patrol and really learned things you as an informed person, weren't even aware of. And I think what we're seeing now in the U.S. is what you've said, is we are paying for the past mistakes of not enforcing laws that were already there back to the Reagan administration. And you have cities that are overrun, and you have problems in many cases trying to figure out who is entering through our southern border. There has to be some concerns about whether there are suspected terrorists who are exploiting any time we have a serious influx of migration crisis like with the Venezuelans. What do you think? Well, you said it all. I mean, Mike, definitely there's the concern of that. I mean, you have, listen, everybody's on higher alert because of the brutal terrorist attacks that were carried out by Hamas and Israel, of course. Absolutely. So you look at where would be our pressure points that we would be, where it could be soft, and the more people you have and the less people you have in where you can process and do the things you have to do, well, that's where you may find someone that, that is able to get through, that's able to come through. And there has been an increase in Border Patrol apprehensions of people who match the U.S. terror watch list over the past couple of years. It's a small, tiny, tiny, tiny piece on the southern border. And it's also becoming more common on the U.S.-Canada border, which makes sense, because would the suspected terrorists all be on that watch list? And would it be easier, as somebody who spent plenty of time on the northern border going back and forth, would it be easier to get through there? Maybe. You know, are we seeing a flood? You know, the large number of people arriving has to have national security implications. It has to have it. Because again, in trying to be able to match people up, figure it, process all the things, there would be ways to get through. Granted, you're not talking about thousands of people at one time, but that's when you're assembling a cell, a team, you don't need that. So to be concerned, I think, is a smart thing. I mean, look, you have the Department of Homeland Security saying they're prepared to respond to potential threats to the to our homeland stemming from the attacks in Israel. So, of course, the security of the borders is a big, big concern, definitely. Okay, here's one from Al, who says, Kate, I really have just such, I don't know what I how to describe it. I really have such tough emotions watching what's happening in Israel. And I guess it's because you're hearing so many personalized stories and you see these families with that pure anguish in their face and exhaustion and desperate for anything, any news, anything they can possibly get on their loved ones who have been kidnapped. And imagine the terror of that. I saw something today where the father of an 8-year-old girl found that in the trail of terror that was left behind his daughter's body, her eight-year-old daughter was killed, and they found her body, and he said he was actually relieved because he thought she was kidnapped and couldn't imagine what possibly could come of that, how she could be torn apart and what he would see and the world would see. And of course, he is obviously violently upset by what happened. But he's saying, okay, if I have two options here, then I prefer that option because of my concern of, we saw how they shattered the sense of security and what they're willing to do. So I'm glad that it was a grenade how this happened. So maybe it was quick and she didn't feel it, and then boom, there was not that situation. That definitely tells you something. And you know, the people that are waiting to hear word, they're waiting to hear word. A bunch of you asked me about that. Frenchie said, Kate, I can't imagine as American by choice. I grew up in another country. I did it the legal way. Came here, love America, am a citizen. And I can't imagine when I look at what those people are going through in Israel, what it must be like to live that way and deal with that. And where do you go from there if that's your homeland and it's just been ripped to shreds the way it has? And, of course, we did have 9/11, and we saw what ISIS did and that sense of rocking our security and blindsiding us. And now it's about the figuring that out too as well, that how could they have breached the way that they breached. But I agree with you. I don't think there are people looking into that, but I think the focus is on what is going to happen more with the invasion at this point and the hostages. Well, yeah. I mean, of course, you go back and you piece it together, and everybody wants to know, how could you have the fifth best army, this incredible intelligence apparatus, and have people be just preyed upon for hours? How does that happen? And the early intelligence is showing that, you know, you got this surprise attack, which we know, and it is fueling the doubts that who could have supplied some of that information. Where did the key pieces of the cog come into play? That's why the track down of Iran. What was Iran's role, if any, in this? And of course, weapons, support over the years, we know that. But what kind of knowledge do they have? What kind of direct involvement, if they had direct involvement in it? And, you know, it's just very, very strange that this completely unraveled the way that it did, right? So that's a thing to watch, absolutely. This comes to us from Rose, who says, Kate, I like the show, I really do. I started listening probably 2 years ago. I'm here in New Orleans, and occasionally I nod off if I'm listening to you later, and then I catch it on the upswing when my eyes open back up again. So I really appreciate you filling us in on everything you're learning and have heard from people you know on what's happened in the retaliation, etc., from Israel. And what does it look like for the hostages and whatnot? I had a daughter and I'm Christian, and she's Christian, my family's Christian, but she did an exchange thing with a very wonderful Jewish family, and they took her everywhere, and the history she learned and the excitement and talking about our religion, sharing that with the family. It was just a life-altering, amazing experience for her. And so luckily that family's okay, but I really feel for the people in that region, and I'll never forget how they treated my daughter. So God bless the people in Israel. Yeah, certainly. When we hear the details and we watch about the methodical slaughter, it's just a special, sick, twisted place for the people that carried that out. I think it is about when everything moves forward. What does that mean? And then I got this one from Caroline. What about the children and whatnot on the other side of the border in the Palestinians? It's sad to see what's happened to the innocents there and how they're struggling and with everything being cut off. You can't think that those people are going to survive that way. Yeah, I don't think so at all. That's why there's other organizations that have gone in to try to help whatever they can do. And there's no question. That's why there was the warning. Hey, we're invading. We're going to invade. There's going to be ground invasions. There's aerial. The idea is you're warning, warning, warning. The people leave, get out, go to the shelter. Do not be in your neighborhoods. I mean, that's it. Because you got a land invasion that's imminent. And what's that going to look like? What is that going to look like? It is a question mark. But I think there's no doubt it's happening. And that's why, hey, we're coming. Because this isn't a surprise deal. That's what Israel's saying. All right, this is a good one, an uplifting one in a sense. This one is from Denny, who says, Kate, I think I want to shout. You remember that song? Rudolph Isley, dead at the age of 84. Do you remember his music? Yeah, his music was before my time, but it was a classic that was played over and over again. I can remember that would be played at the end of, a nightclub that everybody used to go to, and everybody danced, and it was really fun. So RIP to him. Great music with the Isley Brothers for sure. Stay with us.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
As the cold and flu season approaches, Silver Lungs is ready to help you and your family through the toughest of the year by supporting your immune system and overall health. From our best-selling colloidal silver generating system to our entire line of silver-based skin gels, nasal sprays, soaps, and silver solutions, Silver Solutions remain one of nature's most powerful and least expensive antibacterial agents. Now you can produce your own for pennies a day in the comfort of your home using the breakthrough technology of the Silver Lungs generator. Learn more today at www.silverlungs.com.
We talk about cybersecurity all the time, and what's your strategy? Do you have a strategy? Valerie Aubin is with us. She is the global cyber strategy lead for Accenture. That sounds like a great job. And we're going to talk about cybersecurity because it is October Cybersecurity Awareness Month. So, Valerie, thanks for hopping on.
Well, thank you so much, Kate. Happy to be here to talk about what we found in our latest research.
Yes, so tell us about the research. What were some of the nuggets that you found?
Well, it's really interesting, Kate. You're right. It is the 20th anniversary of National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. And this research of over 1,000 CEOs that were surveyed shows that while we have a lot of awareness, right, 96% of our CEOs know that cybersecurity is really important for their business and their business growth. But unfortunately, there's a disconnect between that awareness and action, and only 5% of CEOs surveyed are actually doing the things necessary to be CEOs that are cyber resilient leaders.
Wow. That's so surprising based on what we're seeing in the world today. And like you said, the 20th anniversary of it. So I think about the beginning of people talking about it and where we are now. So what are the biggest challenges, the cybersecurity risks really that CEOs are facing?
You know, it's a really complex world, right? And I understand that CEOs have a lot on their plate. But we know that the risks from a cybersecurity perspective are just getting, you know, greater and greater and expanding every single day. So whether that's the issue of greater dependence on technology just to make your business run, most businesses are completely changing, reinventing how they use technology to support their customers. And that use of technology, we're hearing a lot about AI and Gen AI, it really needs to be secure from the beginning. The other challenge is just rising geopolitical risk. This is expanding the threat landscape and changing the way in which it operates. And then we also know there's rising regulatory expectations, including specifically around how companies protect data and how they actually report breaches to regulators when they occur. And then, you know, there's just this expanding dependency on third parties, which also can increase your attack surface everywhere.
I'm so glad you said that. Yeah, third party is huge. And again, this piggybacks off of what we just talked about there and what you threw in. But how do most executives prepare for a cyber attack right now? How are they preparing for it?
Well, it's really interesting because most CEOs, the majority of the CEOs we surveyed, really treat it like it's only going to matter in the crisis and that only requires episodic intervention. And honestly, that's just not going to cut it in the world that we're in today with emerging technology and how it's going to change the way all of our businesses operate. And so what we're saying here is that we have to move from treating this as like a siloed technology capability, of which the majority of CEOs think that that's okay, like your information security guy or gal can just handle this problem for you, to actually something that every single member of the senior leadership of the C-suite has a tailored and specific accountability to address cyber resilience.
Wow. Well, I think that's so key. So what, talking about cyber resilience, what can CEOs learn from those CEOs who are, even if it's a small amount, are taking precautionary measures?
Yeah, so there are really five things that we learned from the cyber CEO resilient leaders. The first is that they're the ones that are embedding cybersecurity in their business strategies and their products and services up front. The second thing is they're really focused on a culture of cybersecurity where they hold their entire C-suite accountable, all of their senior leaders accountable for cybersecurity and resilience in a way that is specific to their job, their role, and their teams. The third thing is they're actually securing technology from the start. They're not waiting to layer it on after the fact or when a problem occurs. They're actually imbuing and embedding cybersecurity in the technology, especially as they start to use emerging tech like AI and Gen AI. Yeah. The fourth thing is that they're thinking about partnership, how they work with all of their third parties and their vendors in this entire ecosystem to secure their businesses. And the final thing is they're treating it like a continuous priority that requires the CEO involvement and action.
Yeah. Well, this was all brilliant stuff for sure. Where can we go to learn more?
Well, thank you so much. It is essential reading, and we're telling everybody to go and download the report at Accenture.com/cyber CEO.
Valerie, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think that episodic intervention, boy, that tells you something right there, especially with the world we live in, and you're, you know, looking at the possibilities of breaches. Are you kidding me? I mean, no. We don't want to hear that, that's for sure. All right, a couple of thoughts here on some things that happened during the day related to Israel vowing that Gaza will never look the same and they're not going to pause until this siege and until all the hostages are free. That was another comment that was made. So they're flipping that around. Already 6,000 bombs have been dropped on Gaza since the weekend. The promise was we're going to annihilate Hamas in retribution for the deadliest attack on civilians in Israeli history. Here's a couple of other quick things that have happened. Representative Corey Mills returned from Israel after pulling away, helping shuttle, whatever word you want to use, 77 stranded Americans out of the country. I talked about people being stuck and worried. And so he's back to the Capitol after, you know, helping Americans out of Israel through neighboring Jordan during this 2-day visit. And, you know, there were people that were trapped. There was a California-based church group who had been on a Holy Land tour when Hamas attacked. That's just one example. There were lots of different Americans that were there for different reasons and now found themselves where, you know, where they're stuck. Well, I like what Mills said. I could care less what district they're from, whether they can vote for me, whether they're Democrat or Republican. These are Americans who wanted to get home. So Mills going home said, okay, I'm going to help. I'm going to figure this out. And did, you know. And so, of course, the people were like, we're eternally grateful for getting out and having that help that we, you know, we needed. And then you've got reaction. So people reacting to what's going on in the last 7 days. So, for example, you have a Yale professor who is, people are calling him out to be fired over comments on the attack, the Hamas attack, because he, I guess, supposedly, this is social media post, where in the social media post that this again is interpretation that this historical anthropologist who is a documentary filmmaker who also works as an associate professor of American studies, race, migration, religious studies, all that, she came under a lot of the big microscope after speaking out in support of the Palestinians as the Hamas deadly attack on Israel unfolded. On X, which was Twitter, this was the tweet. Prayers for Palestinians. Israel is a murderous, genocidal settler state, and Palestinians have every right to resist through armed struggle, solidarity. Now, in her bio, she does describe herself as a radical Muslim, and then followed up with a series of tweets that then appeared to applaud the invasion, which, you know, of course, we know what happened during that invasion. So what will happen at Yale will be something to watch, because this is happening, playing out in a couple of other campuses in different ways with different kinds of comments, and usually it's, you know, through social media. All right, and you might have, on the lighter side, you might have missed this, but congratulations to the Philadelphia Phillies. They win a trip to the National League Championship Series against Arizona, my friends. They knocked off the team that won 104 games in the regular season, the most games, the Atlanta Braves. Boy, it wasn't easy, but they did it. The bats came alive when they needed it to, and they got the pitching they needed, period. So that's going to be a fun series to watch and lighten the burden of the heaviness around us, for sure. Thanks so much to Alex Kay for his excellent work on the technical. Stay safe, stay sane. And friends, please find your happy, right, Guinness?
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original Pure Pau D'Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.